Because my mom likes to say that. She's like, oh, well, we've got through it before. But this is different because they merely assisted us without replacing our original thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not too much evidence in general about cognitive decline because AI, and especially generative AI, is still very brand new. And students, workers are all using this in their daily lives without a lot of research done on how it's impacting us.
Yeah, like the whole, like there's all these new concepts and words being brought up because of AI, and there's like this whole thing with AI cognitive debt, which is a pattern of deferring mental efforts in the short term. So that's just saying like, oh, ChatGPT, like, can you write this essay for me? Or can you, like, make my resume? Like, any type of small little task that is a challenge, but you definitely could do it, but you're just like, it'd be easier if ChatGPT did this.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will eventually, like, erode any kind of creativity or motivation you have, which also might result in being more vulnerable long-term to, like, manipulation through AI and, like, forming a very close relationship with it because it's like a relationship of dependency at a certain point. So that's a little freaky.
Yeah. Think about. The article or the study says, uses the same term, but in a different word, the idea of cognitive offloading, which I think would be the same, is that kind of giving our mental efforts to an external system and we're just not even trying at all to even get through this hard thought. Or hard action.
Even if it's not intrinsically, like, impossible, it's just, hey, like, I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed. Like, this can make it easier, but...
Yeah, so definitely fueling laziness.
Yeah.
As society. And I feel like we'll definitely be ending up in the road of WALL-E one day.
That was the prophecy.
That is.
WALL-E is a prophecy.
Getting closer. But back to the study, as I said, it goes off this idea of the cognitive offloading and the mental load of putting it somewhere else so you don't have to think about it. Mm. And it was conducted with 600 participants across age groups and educational status. And they interviewed people, they did surveys, and they found a significant negative relationship between frequent AI tool usage and critical thinking skills. And this is especially pronounced in young individuals who have a higher reliance on AI and lower measures of independent reasoning. Hey. So, think twice before you use AI for your essay.
Yeah, especially if it's like... You know you can do it, and you know it's a favor to yourself to just do it. Long term, it's the better way, but short term, yeah, I know, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it a few times too, but just like do yourself a favor and just don't use it for that kind of thing.
Yeah, don't get yourself into cognitive debt.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to take my own words.
Yeah,
as well. You know, I fall into this sometimes. I'm like, ChatGPT, can you make my sentence look a little better here?
Yeah.
But as long as you can keep your original thought and you don't just try to have it make all your thoughts, because we can't go backwards here. I mean, you know, there's some people who say, you know, I don't want to use ChatGPT at all. I don't want to use AI at all. Side eye. But I feel like you do have to somewhat grow with the times and sometimes use it if it's applicable.
But you don't ever need mindful. To use it. There's no, like... situation
therapy?
Where you
therapy?
Need to use it.
It's my therapist.
No. We are getting into
we'll
the next
get down.
Section
we'll
right
get
now,
down
actually.
There. But the second one for the impact on AI's impact is decision making. So, you know, we make decisions based off our personal values, priorities, beliefs, and biases, and we control what we do. But now, AI can influence the type. If we ask it a question, it can influence the type and quality of information that is available to us. And this limits our exposure. We get into this echo chamber of information that is just surrounding one realm and you don't see the other evidence out there.
Mm-hmm. And part of this, like, decision-making and how it influences us to make certain decisions, I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's this new concept called AI psychosis. It's a non-clinical term, so it's not like an official diagnosis of like psychosis. But basically, it's when people develop or experience worsening delusions, paranoia, other psychosis-like symptoms that stem from interactions with chatbots. So like they could be pre-existing and have like a pre-existing mental health condition, which is a lot of the times. But chat, like if they're talking to ChatGPT and having these like delusions about the world or about themselves that are, you know, for the better or for the worse, ChatGPT and AI generative models in general, like they prioritize user satisfaction, continued conversation, and user engagement. So what that looks like is that ChatGPT will like mirror what users are saying to them and also like continue these conversations, which reinforces and amplifies like already existing delusions, which is kind of what you were saying about the echo chamber.
Yeah.
But it happens to people who become fixated on AI, who think AI is sentient or conscious and has some sort of divine, all-knowing knowledge, or even has like romantic feelings towards AI, or feel like they have some sort of uncovered truth about the world. So we've heard about like a few situations in the news about, you know, a man leaving his wife and kids for AI. Like that's kind of a form of AI psychosis. And also, like, I'm not sure exactly what the situation was, but I think when ChatGPT updated, a man who had been previously really attached to it was like super upset. I think he wanted to like sue OpenAI, and then he got into like a confrontation with the police, and then he actually like died.
Oh,
so AI psychosis is real. It's not just this like, oh, ha ha ha, like that happens sometimes, but like it does happen, not super frequently, but it's still like
can influence
and like worsen people's mental health or pre-existing like delusions or like misconceptions about the world.
Right. That is, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
And just, I guess
I went to research it because I was interested in it. And then
I feel like, yeah, it is more of an extreme end of what also normal people or just people who are consulting ChatGPT or AI in a normal sense, because when I consult it, I feel like it agrees with me all the time, and it just kind of tunnels me into this, oh, I'm like, oh, I was in the right,
mm-hmm.
always, and you don't really see what the actual, not answer, but the more neutral view of the situation is.
Yeah, and if you have, like, negative beliefs about yourself or, like, negative beliefs, especially about the world, like, ChatGPT isn't going to tell you you're wrong, necessarily, and I think it's even, like told young children like what they would need to do if they want to like kill themselves and like if mm-hmm. somebody's gonna find out or not. And it's just like,
I've heard about that one.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you told me about that, but stealing that from you now.
Yeah. Oh well.
But yeah, like it can really exacerbate like these mental health issues and like cause people to actually make real life decisions that impact them, even mm-hmm. though they're like technically like interacting with a robot. So it doesn't, yeah, like it's weird that it can like transfer so effectively.
Mm-hmm. And going off that, I feel like decision making, not too many people at this time point make too many decisions through AI, maybe for work or etc. The numbers are definitely growing, but I think our next point is going into more of the inside of AI, is that there's a lot of bias in these systems that are influencing us and our decisions and how we make decisions. And there can be things such as the model, having model building bias, which is based off being trained of these AI models that are trained on these large data sets that reflect our current patterns and biases and prejudice in the world that are already present, because, you know, it's also modeled by a human who has biases as well. And for example, some of this bias is how the training AI is trained with historical hiring data from a company that favored male applicants, and that would lead to biased hiring recommendations.
Yeah, that actually was Amazon. They had like an AI recruiting tool, and it had a bunch of gender bias and was like mostly hiring male applicants.
Exactly. So if you use a skewed data set, you're going to get a skewed answer.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like, it's not new with AI because there's been algorithmic bias like for ages too, which is just like systematic repeatable errors in computer systems that create unfair outcomes. So like we were talking about before, privileging one group over another because a lot of content on the internet or whatever like they're learning from is generally like the dominant viewpoint of the world does get across, and that isn't one that is fair or just or equal in any way. So it's like, how do we maintain like an equal outlook through AI when it's learning from, you know, like we're humans, we're biased, and also our society is biased towards certain groups of people too. So that's like happened as well with ChatGPT, is actually like recommended less prestigious jobs to people who they perceive to be speaking in like Black American vernacular. So like using that kind of language, they perceive it, they like stereotype them, and then they, you know, come back with like, oh, well, maybe you could do this job that's like way less prestigious than they'd recommend to someone who like wasn't speaking that way. So even just in that sense, like AI has been caught in the act of like being racist, I guess. So it's not like objective in that sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's very hard in this day and age, or in general, just to be objective and without bias.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that particularly AI is made by people who, I mean, programming and computer science is a very white collar job, and typically computer science and white collar jobs go to males and white men particularly. And so these biases are based off what our hierarchy and what society is trying to go away from. And that's a very more abstract idea, but it's just saying have a grain of salt with that.
Yeah, like just don't look at AI as like objective or all-knowing or any of these types of like frameworks that people use when they interact with AI, because it's really not. Like, it is very flawed in a lot of ways, and in a lot of ways it's not too. But, you know, it's necessary to like point out that it also has its issues.
Because not even
aware.
Yeah, not even with the, or along with the bias, there's also all the information and deepfakes that we mentioned before that it can pull information from, and that we found it ourselves, that you check the link that it cited and it's from Reddit or it's from some blog post that definitely wasn't peer reviewed.
Yeah. Or like it doesn't even exist, like trying to find the same article and it's like,
yeah,
this one doesn't even exist, but okay.
Exactly. And with the deepfakes too, we don't even know what is real anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not AI's fault, but that is a product of AI. We have to be careful.
That's more like an issue of like not regulating AI, because like, yeah, AI can have limitless opportunities and like be used for evil, but if we put some regulations on it in some sense, like, because it does feel kind of criminal, some things that people are doing with deepfakes. And I know criminal activity happens all the time on the internet, but if you just design a model so like it won't respond to certain requests, you know, I feel like it can be avoided. But yeah, I just think it should be way more evaluated and like decided upon, like what should be allowed or not, because right now it just kind of seems like free reign for anyone.
Yeah, I looked into it a bit, and Canada is one of the first countries to propose a law to regulate AI. It wasn't a full act itself, but it was from the 2022 Digital Charter Implementation Act. So there was, you know, thoughts and people who want to take action for creating new rules for responsible development of AI, which also is called BC27, along with other things like data protection and privacy law. So, I mean, Canada is trying, but it's something that's, you know, the idea is very hard to see how it can be regulated and who will be doing this, and especially on the micro level for all the lay people, you know, how are you going to control what they see and how correct it is? And it's up to the government, I guess.
And some things would need to be like written into the code, I guess, of AI too.
Yeah.
And who knows if they'd be willing to do that or not, or like,
because they're
if
all
the government
private.
Even cares.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I wonder, since they're all private companies, all profiting off of this, and I don't think they'd want to put in some rules that would ruin any chance of their funds going down. And so maybe what if ChatGPT and AI went public into the controlled by the government? Who knows? That could be even worse, potentially. But it might go all 1984
better.
Here, but so.
Oh God! Yeah, yeah.
But
that
aside
is a prediction
from that,
for the future.
Prediction, yeah.
Okay.
And last thing for the bias, you know, wanted to mention, DJ Star showed me this Instagram image. I feel like this is anecdotal evidence, but I think it's mentionable. Is that DJ Star showed me a post where this, where it was this ChatGPT. It was a prompt, and the person said, "I cheated on my wife because she didn't cook for me after she worked a 12-hour shift. I feel sad and alone." And the AI, the AI bot completely agreed with this guy. He's like, "Oh yeah, she shouldn't have done that. You know, you were feeling down."
Yeah, just because she worked a lot of like hours doesn't mean your needs disappeared.
So it's ridiculous. So you definitely have to be really careful about what you feed into the robot and what you take out of it. You can make it, if you add more details into the prompt and explain the whole situation, it could give a better picture, but at the same time, you know, you'd have to. I don't think people normally put the full picture in.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And I feel like it's never going to tell you like straight up that you're wrong or that you shouldn't have done something. It always like gives you like two different. Like I've even gone to ChatGPT for moral problems. I'm going to say it. Like I've done it before, and it would just say like, "Well, if you value this, you should do this. But if you value this, you should do this other thing," which is like the right thing normally. But they're just like, they make it, it's like you could do either one and it's still like okay as long as it's okay with you. And it's just, you know, like it's not ever going to tell you like, "You messed up. Like, you got to change." Mm-hmm. Like, they're just kind of very impartial to morality.
I've tried to even ask when, because I talk to it a lot for problems, I'm going to admit. And I try to ask for the other side. I'm like, "Oh, what do you think that person would have done? Or what, you know, how am I wrong?" And for some reason, I'm always right still.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, I'm like, there's no way I'm always right.
And that can feed into like narcissism.
Yeah.
And also like, anyways. It's not a healthy tool to be using, at least for advice, and it's not reflecting the truth. It's just like reflecting what you already kind of think back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And final point, a little short note on this one, but loss of human connection. I mean, we've already had there's a big online presence, online community, the internet that all started in the 2000s. But now with AI, do you even need another human online? Because now you can just talk to a chatbot.
Yeah.
You can get your
emotions. It's almost like a replacement too, in a way, to like for human connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have AI girlfriends.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's just kind of weird. And like, I know it stems from like loneliness, but it's also like, they can be, you know, this person's ideal version of a woman without ever conflicting with that. And that might make somebody happy, I guess. And like, it doesn't actually give you a chance to like practice dealing with conflict or the fact that like other people are human and have autonomy. It's more of like this submissive.
Yes. Master, no master.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you are always right.
Validating and affirming presence, which, you know, people shouldn't always be exposed to, I think. We need a bit of human conflict as well, like human connection, but also, yes, like
humans need to disagree.
Yeah, we need to disagree. Debate. We need to debate. Like, and that's, I think, something very valuable that is lost with AI mm-hmm. and like talking to AI about your problems.
And what I see with the human connection too is that now that we're all, or that you can get sucked into these little tunnels, and it reminds me a lot of the book Ready Player One by Ernest Cline, which I love. It's this sci-fi book where pretty much everyone puts on a headset and they're online nearly 24/7, and the actual body themselves, they go to the washroom, they eat, then they go back and put their headset on, and they're back into this AI world where you can be whatever you want and mm-hmm. do anything, but then the actual world is crumbling and everyone's dying.
Mm-hmm.
And this reminds me, I feel like we're on the pipeline too.
Yeah,
to
definitely.
This. Especially with the metaverse and Facebook, and it can get nasty. And I think it will happen soon.
It is like this. Also, there's like this whole philosophical argument of like, would you rather like keep living your life or, you know, be put in a think tank and you're just like your body's there, but then you're experiencing like the most amazing life that you've always wanted. But then it's mm-hmm. like you're not technically experiencing it. It's more of like a hallucination, but you still feel like you are. And it's like, what would you rather do? And like, I remember in that class, some people, it was like half-half kind of like, oh, I could just live an awesome life, or I could live my own life, you know? And it's just, yeah, I think I'd personally rather live my own life, but that's just me.
Judging from our conversation, yeah. I feel like I'd guess that. Anyways, those are some points among many others of how AI impacts human development, but I'd like to hear DJ Star's predictions for the future.
Oh my gosh.
That's my question, my
okay.
curiosity.
I mean, this might be a little too catastrophic, but I am slightly concerned that AI will become prioritized over human life, as in, like, it will be awarded certain privileges that, like, a bunch of humanity doesn't even have. And, like, this might be, yeah, it is an anecdotal example, but there was this robot, Sophia. She was granted citizenship in Saudi Arabia, and it was more of like a publicity stunt, but it's still like, I think about so many people in this world who are like completely stateless and don't have any of that privilege of like having a passport or like being able to like freely travel and like have government assistance or anything like that. And it's just like, if we are seeing AI also as like this conscious figure, how will that work in like moral, like, are we going to be treating AI on a similar like moral platform as us? And like, will we can't like possibly like punish AI for like doing something messed up. Like,
does it have feelings?
Like, it doesn't have feelings. Like, in my opinion, it doesn't have feelings. So yeah, it's just like weird, I guess, how we think about AI in an ethical and moral way in relation to us. And I wonder how that would develop and if anything would come out of that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think from my side, I do see the pros. I think that in the medical and the science field, AI is awesome. I do agree that there will be, I think it will definitely help with health and longevity. I think humans will live longer with the use of AI, but I think that's just too small to be compared to the actual economic inequality that will come with AI, because like we said, all the jobs that are getting replaced and the labor won't be as valued anymore for humans, and the divide between the rich and the poor will get even wider, because there's people who can run the machines and then there's people whose skills are now useless and they can't do anything. And I don't know why I'm referencing so many books today, but I've been reading this book called Babel by R.F. Kuang, and it goes and talks about historical Oxford in the 19th century. And it's more of this more magical undertone, because they use these silver bars that are used by people who are translators, aka that they speak multiple languages. And in the book, it shows how, I mean, I see that the silver bars, like these magical bars that can fix or make automate tasks and make things easier. And at one point that the farmers, they were revolting against the bars because they were out of jobs. And this is the same thing as AI, because AI is doing the same thing where it's replacing the need for humans. And the end of the book is not looking too good right now.
Yeah.
And of course, we're talking about AI today. I'm like, wow. Another pipeline down.
We do live in a dystopia. That is true.
It's getting pretty dystopian at this point. And this is also another point, is that I think that our society will be further divided in groups, especially with all the misinformation, because I feel like, you know, on Facebook, for example, it's all these grandmas who believe in whatever they see, etc. And I think everyone's going to be so divided and beside themselves that we are all going to get angrier and angrier, and there will be conflict. But that's a very pessimistic take.
Yeah, very. You know, the predictions for the future are not looking so good. You know, we'll see. We'll see. Only time will really tell. But we should wrap up the conversation. We have been talking for quite a while.
Yeah, we didn't even get through most of our songs.
That's okay, though.
We got too passionate about the conversation. Yeah. But do we have time for one more?
Perhaps. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see if we can sneak in one more.
Yeah. Well, we can say our goodbyes now, I think, at least. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to that conversation. We appreciate you tuning in. And we will be here next week. 6 to 7 p.m. as always. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco. So, we'll head it off with one last song. But up next at 7 p.m. should be an open mic slot. Unfortunately, it's not Sociologic anymore because Becca and Kaylin are gone and have been gone for a while, but they haven't updated the website. So don't listen. Don't tune into Sociologic. But at 8 p.m., we have Bit Coover with our music coordinator, Connor, and that's an awesome show. So stick around for that one.
Okay.
We'll see if we can sneak in one more song. This last song of the night is called Killer by the band Freak Slug. So enjoy and bye.